Amen. We can do better than that. Amen. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Burden. I mean, I've laid my burdens down. Amen. We ought to be thankful for the God that we can lay down our burdens. Amen. Because sometimes this old life gets heavy. It gets hard. Amen. I think I said once before, my mom told me, son, just keep on living. Man, there's some things that you're going to endure that you haven't seen yet. Amen. But thank God we have a God that we can take all of our issues to, all of our cares, and he'll hear our every cry. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Our scripture today comes from Psalm 74. Stanza 25, it says, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Well, Father God, we come to you this morning, Lord God, once again, to say thank you for another opportunity to come to your house, where you have chosen to place your name, Lord God. We come knowing that while we are here, we'll meet you here. And we know, Father, that you will meet us with all power. And we know, Lord God, not only will you meet us with all power, but you will be kind, loving, understanding, and patient. We thank you now, Father, for you being just that good of a God. And we thank you now for being a part of this service, where we can find something in you that we can hang on to, that'll give us power and strength to make it throughout the week. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Amen. Amen. We'll now have our opening hymn number 150. Been an adjustment made. We're going to do hymn number 511. Amen.
Oh,
Let us bow our heads. Our Father, the one who loves us, despite all of our shortcomings, the one who looked past all of our faults, and the one who loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. And we come as a congregation today that has journeyed through some things. We've had our heart broken. We've seen some tragedies. We experienced some hardships. We suffered some things. We come today, Lord God, with a humbled heart, knowing that if we bring all of our things to you, you are so loving, you are so kind, you are so just, that, Father, you'll take all of our issues and make our way a little bit lighter. We come this morning to say thank you because we know that you don't have to do it, but you simply do it because you love us. Even sometimes when we feel that we don't have love in our life, we know that you are our love. When we are missing joy, you are our joy. When we're missing happiness, you are our happiness. Father, in short, you are everything that we need. So we come this morning to say thank you. Father, see us through our storms that are coming, for surely they are coming. Give us strength to go through the storms we're dealing with now. Because in many of our lives, we are dealing with storms that have come upon our shores. They've come with mighty winds, with rushing waters. Lord God, they come with horrible things. But yet and still, as long as we got you, we can make it through our storms. So we come to say thank you. Thank you for being such a good God. Such a loving God. One who sits high and looks low. One who cares so much about his own people that he hears their every cry. We come this morning to say thank you for being such a good God. And Lord God, as we move forward, we pray that we'll keep our faith in you, knowing that you can bring us out and through everything that we endure. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we pray this morning. Amen. Amen. We ask now that the officer will come for the purpose of our tithes and offering.
Just believe it and receive it. God will perform it today. Hey, hey. Just believe it and receive it. God will perform it today. I'm looking for a miracle.
Father God, we come to you this morning, Lord God, to say thank you for these gifts that have been given here today, Father God. And we pray, Lord God, that we use them to edify and uplift your kingdom. So when man is in need of help, he can find you. When man needs assistance, he can find you. When man can't find help from anyone else, he can find you. We pray, Father God, that these gifts are a blessing, not only to this church, but to this community. We ask now in these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Amen. Amen. He got the whole world in his hands. Amen. Thank God for that. Can you imagine if the whole world was in one of our hands? Lord, have mercy. I'm afraid that the whole world may be in Donald Trump's hands. Amen. That scares me to my core. Like there's nothing they can do to deter the people from voting for them or to actually put them in jail. It's kind of scary. Thank God that the world is in God's hands. Because even when it looks bad, God can change that thing to make it be the way it should be. Amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads for a quick word of prayer. Father God, we come now asking that you be with us today as we stand before your people. For Father, we want them to hear from on heaven and not from us. And because it's only you that have power, I have no power. So when they look up here and see me, I pray that they don't see me but see you. And because it's you who can change things. It's you who can make things better. I'm just an old wretched vessel that's not worthy to stand behind this sacred desk. But for some reason, you saw fit to call me into the ministry. But God, you are a sovereign God who has all power, who can give them what they need. We ask these blessings in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. Just for a second, if you would appease me, I'd like to sing just a little bit of my favorite song. Amen. I've got a mind to live for Jesus all of my days. I say I've got a mind to live for Jesus all of my days. Oh yeah, you see, in order to win this fight, I've got to give God all that is right. See, I've got a mind to live for Jesus all of my days. My mountains get high, I live for Jesus. My valley gets low, I live for Jesus. My way gets dark, I live for Jesus all of my days. Oh yeah, the Lord God's been so good to me. Oh, I like the way he set me free. See, I've got a mind to live for Jesus all of my days. Somebody here, they want to live for Jesus. Somebody here, yeah, they want to live for Jesus. Somebody here want to live for Jesus all of their days. Oh yeah, the Lord God's been so good to me. Oh, I like the way he set me free. See, I've got a mind to live for Jesus. Come on, join me and help me live for Jesus. Come on and join me and help me live for Jesus. Come on and join me and help me live for Jesus all of my days. Oh yeah, the Lord God's been so good to me. Oh, I like the way he set me free. See, I've got a mind to live for Jesus all of my days. Come on, John,
and help me live for Jesus. Come on and join me and help me live for Jesus. Come on and join me and help me live for Jesus all of my days. Oh yeah, see you can't stop me. You may as well join me. You can't stop me. You may as well join me. See, I've got a mind to live for Jesus. All of my, every one of my days. Hallelujah. That felt good. That's the first time I've been able to sing since the surgery. Amen. Can't tell me God ain't good. Just a week ago, I couldn't push like that. Everything in God's time. Amen. I'm learning that because I'm hard-headed when it comes to that. We must be honest about our own faults. Can tell you all about my faults. She knows it's hard headed. That's why God gives us a help meet, amen. Amen. Somebody who can help you stay in order. Get in order. Amen. Amen. To the young men out there, make sure you find you a good woman now. Amen. Amen. You know, that's a saying. You can tell a man by the woman that he has. Thank God. Amen. A lot of times we go places, people talk about how beautiful she is, and they say over to me, oh, I didn't mean to leave you out. That's okay. I have no problem with that. I understand. I'll kick my coverage. Amen. Sometimes you outkick your coverage. Amen. God will bless you with something you don't deserve. Amen. God is good. But if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Romans chapter 5, chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. I promise I won't be before you long. And they say, Reverend, you said that last Sunday and preached for 35 minutes. I promise you I won't be 35 minutes. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. And it reads, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not, for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, thank God, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to be short today because there's no way I can preach this message within this confined time. Amen. So it's probably going to turn into a series. But just for a few moments, I would like to take the subject, the war all Christians must fight. Say that again. The war that all Christians must fight. And I know that's pretty tough because a lot of us came to Jesus as wounded lambs. We did not come to him as warriors. We came to him humble because we had been wounded by the word. So to hear the thought that there's a war that we must fight scares many of us. But I must let you know that you must fight. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You must fight. And if you didn't know, yes, there is a war that's going on. It's a spiritual war. And you must take part. That's tough. Because a lot of us don't like to fight. Many of us avoid conflict at all costs. We don't like to deal with conflict. We are shut down when conflict arrives. But unfortunately, this is one you cannot shut down in. You must. And it's not a physical war, but it is a spiritual war. When we look at this text, we find it to be in what is considered the greatest book of the New Testament. Many theologians feel that it's the greatest book that's written in the Bible for New Testament Christians. Because it has instructions of how to live as Christians. But these instructions are spiritual versus being just of the letter of the law. Paul wants us to know that it is important for us to understand that there is no way Paul, one of the greatest writers in the Bible, had just concluded a 10-year evangelical journey where he set up all kinds of churches, planted them all over the Roman region, preached at these preached from the east to the west of the Aegean Sea. And this took from AD 47 to AD 57. And he sat down for a little while in Corinth, where he penned this letter. Or should I say he dictates this letter, because he didn't write it himself. His servant wrote it. But he gave his servant the words because he wanted to prepare us for something that we had not considered. Right now, we've been taught the Bible, Bible study, but many of us don't take consideration that there is actually a spiritual war going on. Why? Because we don't see. We're visual beings. If we don't see it, it's out of mind. And I know that's true. I'm guilty of it myself. But I'm going to tell you, if I don't see you for a while, I won't remember your name. Out of sight, out of mind. Because we can't see what's physically going on, we don't consider that there is a spiritual war. So we don't take part. We lay back. We lean back. We stay out of it because we don't. But Paul wants us to understand you cannot avoid this battle. If you're a Christian, you must fight. Because if you're a Christian, Satan wants to sift you as wheat, which means he wants to destroy you. Now, if Satan is not attacking you, there's a problem, because that means he has you already. So that means if you are not his, you belong to God. And if you belong to God, that means he is going to attack you because he wants to make you curse God to his face. So if you're a Christian, you have a war, you fight.
I know a lot of you think, you know, Reverend, when I'm a Christian, I can be humble as a lamb.
Yes.
Some.
But when it comes to dealing with the enemy, you must be a warrior. Paul wants us to understand that this battle is not just universal, but it's personal. Because when we look at the text, Paul goes from using universal terms to being very personal. He said, I. He didn't say us or Christian. He said, I. Because he wants us to understand that we all have to participate, because you have a battle that's being fought on your very land. And when I reference land, I'm talking about in your mind. There's a battle being fought. There's a battle between you, shall I say, between your flesh and your spirit. Paul says, Reverend, I didn't recognize this battle until after my Damascus road. He said, when I became a Christian, when I was freed from my bondage and my eyes were open to a spiritual world, he says, now I realize I have a battle I must fight. In other words, when you gave your life to Christ, prayerfully you did, all of us, but when you gave your life to Christ, God opened your eyes to some spiritual things. And one of the things he opened your eyes to, there is a battle between your flesh and your spirit. We must fight every day. Every day when I wake up, I put my flesh at rest. Because if I don't put my flesh to rest, my flesh will lead me all day. Y'all know I ain't the only one. We're all guilty. God says there is a battle that you must fight. Paul explains here his personal inner battle. He wants us to know that the battle was already planned, and God already has a plan for you. He wants you to know that the battle has already been won, but yet and still you must fight. Because you live in this world, you must fight against the powers of this world on a daily basis. This is this. Galatians 5 says this. Galatians 5, 16 through 18 says this. For this I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the flesh, or shall I say the lust of the flesh. For the flesh
lusteth after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. In other words, every day I got to fight. Because when I get up, there's a battle. My man of God, which is inside of me, all of us have the Spirit of God inside of us. And Satan knows that. And he wants to attack your Spirit of God because he wants to remove the Spirit of God from you. Because if he can remove the Spirit of God from you, then he can have you dwelling in darkness. See, Satan, when we talk about Satan and him dwelling in dark places, we think about like the movies. You know? Lights are always off. Boogeyman come out of the darkness. Ooh. Some of us are afraid to sleep in the dark right now. Because we've been taught that he lives in dark, literally dark places. Satan don't just live in literally dark places. He lives in morally dark places. Jude 6 helps us to understand that when Satan, all his imps were kicked out of heaven, they went to morally dark places, not literally dark places. So when you have dark places in your life morally, Satan can dwell there. What are you saying, brother? I'm saying that there are places in your life that you need to work on to give to God. There are still some dark places in your life, even after you've been saved, that you need to work on to give to God. Paul had been saved already, working for God in the ministry, setting up churches, doing the things that God had asked him to do, paying his tithes, giving his time, giving his talent, but yet and still say, Paul has some places that he needs to give to God. We think that because we get baptized, everything is possible. I'm going to tell you, I keep finding them every day. As long as you live, you're going to find there's some place in your life that you need to work on to make yourself better. But guess what? If you don't have any of those places, that makes you better. None of us are perfect. As a matter of fact, when you become perfect, you'll be standing in the front of God. So if you still here, you're not perfect, which means you still got places in your life that you need to work on. Some of us have places that we won't let go, we're holding on to. Some of us got places that we just refuse to let go. We like it too much. We enjoy it. We don't want to let it go because it tastes too good. Let me tell you what James says about that. James says this. James chapter 1, verse 14 through 15 says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust have conceived, it bursts forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." So James said those places in your life that you're trying to hold on to, that you love so much that you don't want to give up, he said you love it so much because that sin has now given forth birth in your life. And if you continue on in it, you will die. There is a spiritual war that you are. And this spiritual war isn't universal. There's some things that God has shown me about myself I don't like. That I got to work on. But guess what? You can't work on them until God's showing you. Amen? Because everything is done in God's time. So there's some things in your life that you won't get to work on until later on in life because God knows you're not ready to work on. This battle, you can't skip. This battle is a consistent battle. It's not a one-day battle. If you thought you won him when you gave your life to Christ, I tell you, no. When you gave your life to Christ, you just joined the battle. You just started. This battle won't end until you pass away. You must get in the fight. I remember when I was talking to one of my co-workers. I was working at EDS. And I was sharing some things with her about the word. And I came to realize she knew the word. And she knew the word that I was trying to teach her. I said, wait a minute. So you know this already? She said, yes. I said, well, the problem is not that you don't know it. You just don't know it. And she was saying, born again, baptized, believed, who was a preacher's child, who refused to do something that she knew needed to be fixed. Some of us are guilty. We know there are problems in our lives, but we refuse to fix them. Because we think that if we don't touch them, we ain't got to be concerned with them. If we don't worry about it, then God ain't going to worry about it. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's not true. You can't sit on it and not do anything. If God keep bringing it up to you, it's time to work on it. If God keep putting that thing before you and showing it to you, it's time to work on it. Stop sitting when you need to be fighting. Stop laying back when you need to be fighting. Stop doing nothing when you need to be fighting. Stop not speaking out when you need to be fighting. Stop not praying when you need to be fighting. Stop not reading the word of God when you need to be fighting. Because we don't fight carnally. In order to win this spiritual war, you must fight with the word of God. Only the word of God has the power to get you victorious in your battle. I'm done. This is definitely not a shouting or reveling up message. This message would make you aware that that's something you need to be doing. You know, we have this problem where we look at everybody else's issues and we don't look at our own. What are you guilty of? What spiritual war that's raging in your life that you're not fighting? I hear you, Reverend. I don't have any. Yeah, but you gossip. Some of us have lying tongues. We don't think those things are big because they're not physically hurting people. Some of us are envious, jealous. We want what other people have. What spiritual war do you need to be participating in that you're not? Get yourself prepared. Because you are in a battle.
Even if you don't want to be. Glory be to God. Give God a hand clap of praise. The doors of the church are now open. If there would be one who do not know God and free pausing your sin, the time is now. The Bible says, find him while he is near, for surely shall come a time when God can't be found. Say thank you to the ASU students who are here today. Amen. God bless you. It's good to see you. I think maybe AUM students as well. Amen. But if you don't mind staying, amen. Amen. It's good to see you all again. Amen. Now, I thought you and I had a connection the last time you were here, but I see you coming here with an Alpha shirt on, so I'm not going to knock that because one of my favorite men in this church is an Alpha too, but you know, you know, y'all always think y'all the first, but we're going to leave that alone. Amen. Amen. But we thank you guys for being here. Love you guys. And we ask that you continue to come. Make sure that you talk with me before you leave as well. Okay. Amen. God, thank you. Amen. But thank you for being here. Amen. Amen. Sister Vito said, make sure you see her too. Amen. Amen. Thank you. We love you guys, and thank you for being here. Amen. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise for them. Now let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come to you today, Lord God, to say thank you for this message, for you are warning us that it's time to get off the sideline and time to start fighting. Some of us have been way too quiet for way too long. And we wonder why we have the problems that we have in our lives. Those problems are there because we have chosen not to fight. When there's a war that has eternal determination on it, for our salvation is tied to this war. And we pray, Father, that we heard your warning today and we'll begin fighting. We'll begin looking in those places where we have darkness in our lives. Those places that you are not welcomed in. And Father God, although we are Christians and some of us are very mature, we all have them. And we pray, Father, that we learn of those places and that we give them to you so that you can clean us and make us whole. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. And Father, as we leave this place, watch over, protect us, and keep us until we return again where you have chosen to place your name. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Amen.
altars. Say.